This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وما يتلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah to all the brothers and sisters. The arrangement for the first Wednesday of Ramadan is a bit different. We don't have table for all of you. It's because of the Qiyam every night we have it here. Alhamdulillah, I believe all of us are prepared for the adjustment, inshallah. Now, in the month of Ramadan, all of us are aware of what we should try our best to do to increase, especially our good deeds. We should try to increase our good deeds, because the Prophet always extra in Ramadan. He is always extra, extra kind, extra patient, extra loving, extra caring. He always respond to the needs of the needy. He's a very alert about what is happening in Ramadan, to show that Ramadan is very different compared with other month. And because of, now it is important for us as Muslims to understand why, what is the difference between we, the way we celebrate Ramadan, and the companions celebrate Ramadan. Now, the companion spirit of Ramadan is not like us. They are not doing something just because of the rewards. No. Their level of responding to Allah's commandment is radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. That is their status. The highest status of our deeds is not expecting reward, what is being prepared, offered to us, but purely to please Allah. When a person is reda, that means whatever Allah wants him to do, he just do without expecting anything, purely for Allah's sake. Then it's up to Allah to reward them. So the level of reda will give you the attitude of sami'na wa ta'na. When you hear, you obey, and you are not going to delay anymore. Because good things don't come always. It comes and goes. Sometimes when you want to do something good, the opportunity is not there. So you miss the opportunity. So we always prepare to do something that please Allah Rabbul Alameen. And the second thing, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companions do something for Allah, they will give the best. That is another difference between us. We a little bit korang saja, no? We will do, but ala kadar. No? To them, no, they give the best. One of the ayah of the Quran, Allah said, "Lan tanalu birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." Allah said, whatever you offer to Allah is not considered something very good in the sight of Allah until you are prepared to give and sacrifice what you love most. And that is where the quality comes in. We love a lot of things, but you are prepared to sacrifice what you love most, and that is where the difference between we and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. They don't care about this dunya, but we still love dunya a lot, alhamdulillah. It's not wrong, but I'm just saying, so to understand the level. One thing I'd like to share with all the good sisters and brother before we continue with the book is about what the Prophet have foresee, the knowledge that Allah have given our Prophet to see what is going to happen, to know what is going to happen in the future. Not all, because the future is ghaibiyya, is something unseen for us today. We do not know what is our future. We don't know. Neither the Prophet know about the future except what Allah want him to know. Now the Prophet ﷺ did mention in one of the hadith from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said, قَبْلَ السَّاعَةِ سِنُونَ قَدَّعًا يُقَزَّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقِ ويصدقوا فيها الكذوب ويخون فيها الأمين ويؤتمن فيها الخائن وينتق فيها رويبضة. Now the Prophet is here to remind his Ummah about what is going to happen next. The past, he have informed his companion through the Quran. The present, also he have prepared them for the present. And the past, he also remind them about the past. Indeed, before the hour come, as-sa'a, the sign of the hours, before the hour come. Hour have two. One is the main destruction, everything die. And one is our own hour. We just received news from the Middle East and Saudi that there's an accident caused 100 over people die in the accident. So thing happens. That is their hour. Normally we say that only in old age you go to Mecca so that you hope that you will die there. So the young one, normally they don't have intention to die in Mecca. They just want to go in Umrah or Hajj and then come home. But when our hour is been fixed by Allah, you are going to die there, you will die there. This is what happened. So death is our own hour. Before the hour, there are deceptive years. That means we will encounter years of trial. The truthful will not be believed. People who are telling you the truth, a lot of people don't listen to them anymore. Because the truth is bitter. Truth is always against our liking. And when we speak the truth, it's very tough. We know sometimes to speak out the truth is not easy. And this is what the Prophet said. The truthful will not be believed. People don't care. The liar will be believed. Those who talk nonsense, say anything they want to say, is like the messages that you receive every day. Only Allah knows. Forwarding, share and keep on sharing. You don't know what you are sharing sometimes. You don't even have time to reflect, to understand, to confirm. Tabayyanu. Allah have informed us. Anytime when any messages come to you in the form of your hearing or now through the internet, you must tabayyanu. Tabayyanu, you must check. If you want to, share. If not, you stop at your point. You just stop. Don't entertain. Because if not, then you are going to share what is not true and people will believe. So the liar will be believed. The one who speaks the truth will not be believed because it's bitter. The trustworthy one will be accused of betrayal. People who are very trustworthy, people don't like them. Today, if you are very trustworthy with amana in certain sector, they don't like you. Why? Because you are just like an alien to them. Everybody is so corrupted, you are Mr. Clean. So to them, you are an obstacle. You are the troublemaker. They want you to be in the same gang. You don't eat big fish, you eat small fish. Let us eat together. No, so today the world is changing. The trustworthy will be accused of betrayal. So good people become a victim. The one who cannot be trusted will be trusted. And that's why we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of issue in our society. And the Ruwaybida will speak. And the Ruwaybidya will speak. There is a group of people, the Prophet said, known as Ruwaybidah. Ruwaybidah. Then the companion asked the Prophet, what is Ruwaybidah? who is this group of Ruwaybida? The Prophet said, Ar-rajulul tafitu yatakallamu fi amril amma. The man who is tafi'. Tafi' means ignorant or stupid. People who don't have fine knowledge, who don't have true knowledge, real knowledge. When I say real knowledge, true knowledge, is they don't understand what Allah said, they don't refer to Allah's book, neither they refer to the saying of the Prophet. Just plain opinion. I think, this is good. Everything he thinks. No reference at all. He will speak on the affairs of the general public. And that's why today a lot of people come and talk to the public. And they put their opinion. They don't say what Allah said. They don't have any reference from the Quran, neither the Hadith. It's good to do this. Who said that? It's he. Don't do this. According to him, nothing from the reference from the book of Allah and the saying of the Prophet. He will be trusted to rule, and he will speak in the name of the people. I'm representing the people, you see. I'm representing the majority. I'm the voice of the public. It's just like the media today. Most of the media today, we do not know what they are talking about. Neither they want to quote what Allah said, what the Prophet said. There are a lot of people who write books today. This is good, this is good. Where is your reference? The public is going to buy. The public is going to read. The public is going to believe in that. And they will act according to what is written. And there is no evidence. If you are talking about worldly matters, you are free to say what you want to say. But when you want to talk about religion, religion belongs to Allah, you don't have the freedom to do anything you like. This is one of the adab, the manners that we must have. لا تقدموا بين يديه ورسوله. Do not put the opinion, the saying of anyone, including ours, ahead of what Allah said in His book and what the Prophet have conveyed to us. Like the other ayah, I did quote this many times, but this is just a humble reminder. On and off, we encounter all these issues. Sometimes we get so confused after we learn for so long, and then we get a message, we get confused again. Yeah. After learning, it's not that we are not learning. But because, we don't have the alertness of how to defend ourselves. When somebody says, oh, this is from this group, and this group call themselves the Sunni group or what group, you do not know who is behind all this group at all. Anybody can come up with their Twitter, their Facebook, and then they say, we are from this group, we are from that group. Who are they? We don't even know. Why must we waste our time to respond to all these kind of messages? Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ قِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. Allah make a very strong warning, reminder. It is not right at all for a believing man or a believing woman, when Allah have decided something for you, is clear cut in the Quran and the Prophet have taught us what to do, you still choose not to follow Allah's command and the teaching of the Prophet. You still entertain what the public say, what the people say. Hearsay is more important to you than what is written in the Quran and what is written in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. When you do that, Allah said, don't ever think that you are in the right path. فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَلًا مُبِينًا. Allah confirmed you have turned astray. So inshallah, may Allah guide us all, especially in the month of Ramadan. You get a lot of messages also. Every day I also get a lot of messages. I'm confused now. If people like who are not learning, I said, it's okay for them to get confused. The people who have been attending class, confused. Wow, this is really a test. No? And that's why in the Quran, Allah said, Inna lazina amanu billah wa rasuli thumma lam yartabu. A true believer, because at the end of the ayah, Allah said, Ula'ika humus sadiqun in suratul Khujarat. Yeah, after qalatil a'rabu amanna kullam tu'minu, yeah, Allah said, those who really believe in Allah and the Prophet, okay, we all claim that we believe in Allah and the Prophet. Now then Allah continues, thumma lam yartabu. Then there is no doubts that will follow after that. Then they are the truthful believer. But when you still have doubt, then you know you have problem in your belief. Because you are not firm. Easily you can be moved. Can you imagine every Ramadan we have doubts? After learning, we still have doubts. Just an example. Yeah? I hope we are not the one here, inshallah. Now let us go back to the book, page 58. Are we in page 58 today? Yeah. Duration of the consolation. Now, contrary to mourning, offering condolence is not limited to 3 days, but should extend for as long as there is a need for it, until the trial, the calamity's effect fades away. Meaning, if you... Now, the general order is you can mourn for 3 days as a non who is not a wife. Other than that, you should carry on with your normal life. You don't have to be so sad anymore. But to feel for the family who passed away will continue. Mourning, 3 days. For a wife, 4 months, 10 days. That means you cannot. Yeah, entertain yourself, get involved in any kind of gathering that have fun, be happy. No, you just have to show that you are very sad. Yeah? You feel for what happened. But for us, other than the 3 days, you can still feel for the family, especially for the children who become an orphan now. Either they become a single father children or a single mother children. For them, we can still feel for them until their needs is being taken care of. Then we can be a bit relaxed. Yeah? Because we know that in a family, the one who's supposed to support, to protect is the father. And then the mother. Yeah. Breadwinners is always the father. And that's when the father is not well, the mother was given by Allah career, property, then the mother will take charge. We know what happened to Ayub alayhi salam. Do you remember in the time of Nabi Ayub alayhi salam? Wa alaykum salam. He got children. He was a rich prophet. Children, he have a lot of cattle with him. Allah give him a lot of rizqi. He was so healthy with the wife, the children, but with the will of Allah, Satan never give up. He asked Allah to allow him, the Satan, to disturb Ayub alayhi salam. Allah permit. Allah know Ayub will not be weak because of the test from Allah Rabbul Alamin. He will be stronger. He will become closer to Allah. Then Satan start his plan to make him go through a kind of disease, skin disease. Yeah. Then to the extent that the womb coming out is moving on the top of his skin. But he never complained. He just accept the qadar of Allah. Now he was doing some business. Nobody want to do business with him because of his kind of sickness. They are worried that he may cause virus to them. And later on, the children, all the children die. All the cattle, everything gone. Allah's test on him. The only one who is with him now is the wife. And now he can't do anything. The wife have to spend on him whatever property behind, left behind, the wife for you, until there's nothing anymore at home. Now the wife have to go and work. But before she start to work, the wife start to sell whatever they have, until her own hair. Because at that time, hair have values. Women keep long hair. They start to cut their hair and sell their hair. To just to get some, it's barter trade. You give me some food, I give you my hair. And the wife keep on hiding. She wear a hijab, so that the husband do not know what happened to her. Now no one, when people came to know that his wife, this is Ayub's wife, Prophet Ayub's wife, they say, no. We don't want her to work with us because we are worried that she will be affected by the husband and she will carry the virus to us. Now, she have nothing to help her husband. That is the time the wife expressed her feeling. Very sad, very upset. Why? Why Allah do this to us? That is the time she expressed her feeling. There's a time Ayub said to the wife, I'm going to punish you for what you just said with 100 canes. Allah have given us so much before, for so long we never say anything. We just accept it. But this is just few years we start to complain. Wait, when I'm healthy, I will punish you for what you just said. Stay away from me now. Since you are very upset, you just stay away. I don't want you to take care of me. Now the woman had to take charge because he can't do anything. But then Ayub said, no more. Since she complained, this is to show us, wife also must have a lot of patience. If the husband have patience, you must have patience. If the husband start to complain, then you must also have patience. You should help the husband. The one who's in pain is the husband, it's not you. But you must have extra patience. But you don't create tension to those who are sick. Then Ayub start to ask Allah for protection again. And that's the time Allah heal Ayub alayhi salam completely. He's back to normal. But he remember that he said he's going to punish the wife. And he cannot pull back. But Allah show him another way. That he gathered 100. What we call like lidi, something like that. And then just one hit. Khalas. You have fulfilled your promise that you are going to punish her. After a while, Allah Rabbul Alamin give back to Ayub alayhi salam everything that Allah have taken back earlier. They have more children. The wife bear more children, new family, and new cattle coming in, and they become rich again. Alhamdulillah. Now let us go back to this topic again. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled Ja'far family after 3 days had passed. Even though he told them to stop weeping over him, you don't have to cry, you don't have to keep on mourning anymore. The hadith in this regard was cited earlier in the chapter under announcing the death. And we cited here another report of it that emphasized the current discussion. Abdullah bin Ja'far reported that the Prophet ﷺ sent an army to Mu'ta, over which he appointed Zayd bin Haritha, and told the army, "Alaykum Zayd bin Harith, fa in qutil Zayd, aw stuhid, فَأَمِرُكُمْ جَعْفَرُ. Your commander will be Zayd bin Haritha, the first commander. If Zayd is killed in the battlefield or die as a shaheed, then your next chief of command will be Ja'far. If Ja'far is killed or shaheed in the battlefield, your next chain of command will be under Abdullah bin Rawaha. Now, if you look at the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, before sending anyone out for the battle, he always makes sure that he prepared them properly. Because you need leader. You need the chief of command. You don't have only one. You should ready for the second and the third one. Because the chief of command may die earlier than the other, the army or the soldier. So you need to have a leader in a group, in a jama'ah. So when they met the enemy, Zaid held the flag, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The Islamic flag is always La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We are not representing moon or star or anything. We represent La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Whatever we do for the sake of Allah, and the way we do it, we follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they fought until he was killed. Then Ja'far held the flag and fought until he was killed. Then Abdullah held the flag and fought until he was killed. Then Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid ibn Walid's name was not mentioned here. But now you need a leader. All the three leaders is gone. So you need somebody. So Khalid ibn Walid just come forward and carry on the leadership. Alhamdulillah. And Allah gave Khalid ibn Walid victory. When the news about this reached the Prophet ﷺ, he went into the masjid and addressed the people after praising and glorifying Allah Rabbul Alameen. Meaning the Prophet will start with in Alhamdulillahi Nahmaduhu. Normally the Prophet will start with that before he want to convey a message to his ummah. And he informed them, verily your brother has met the enemies, and verily Zaid took the flag and fought until he was killed. Like what the Prophet mentioned, it happened. And then Ja'far, happened to Ja'far the same thing, he was killed. Then Abdullah. Then the last one, the sword of Allah took the flag, Khalid bin Walid. And this is the time Khalid bin Walid was known as Saifullah. The Prophet gave him a title. Khalid ibn al-Walid have a title, Saif Allah, the sword of Allah. That means he's a very strong and powerful a warrior. Any war that he lead seemed to be always he will bring victory back. So Allah gave him victory and he was spared from death. That means he did not die in the battlefield. The Prophet ﷺ left Ja'far family to themselves and did not visit them for 3 days. 3 days, just give them the time to relax, to plan what they have to plan. Sometimes when you want to help somebody, if they do need your help, give them a break first. It's just like when somebody is sick and they don't need your presence at that time, give them a break for 3 days. Because sick people need rest. If everybody will respond, then he have no time to rest. You have good intention, but you must know that he is very sick now. He need time to recover. At least give them 3 days break. You can pray for them, but don't disturb them. Give them the privacy. Then he visited them. After 3 days, the Prophet will visit them, and then the Prophet will remind them, "La tabqu ala akhi ba'd al-yawm." Do not weep over my brother past this day. That means, whoever keep on crying, you should stop. You should accept the qadar now. It's gone. You have to move on. You cannot just become naive and weak and become so passive, but you have to move on. But what is important, Udu'uli ibn al-Akhi, is it, bring my brother's two sons before me. Now this is how we come in. When somebody passed away, we must show our love and our care, but not just talking, oh, we pray for your father, we pray for your mother. No, no, no. Not just empty words. Not just lip service. No. You must have somebody who will also take up some responsibility. Abdullah said, we were brought before him with messy health, got children. Children, nobody is there to organize things for them anymore. You know? So he ordered, some Lawson ordered, Ud'ulil Halaq, invite the barber here, because they are so unorganized now, they are not well taken care of. The barber came and shaved the head of the two boys, and Allah's messenger said, Amma Muhammad, fasabihu amina Abi Talib. As for Muhammad, he resembled our uncle Abu Talib. And for Abdullah, he resembled me, both in look and character. Now the Prophet ﷺ is trying to boost the moral of these two boys. And inform the companion that these two boys is very important. We have to take care of them. We have to love them. We have to tell them that even your father is no more, we all are here for you. This is very important. Now, we have to show them that we are here for them. That is where they are considered as aitam now, yatim. So when yatim, we should respond to them so that they know that they can refer to somebody for help in case if they need any help, if they need any protection. Then he helps Abdullah's hand, raise it and said three times, Allahumma aflik ja'fan fi ahli wa barik li Abdullah fi safaqis yamin. O Allah, take care of Ja'far family after him and bless for Abdullah the dealing that he make with his right hand. This is what the Prophet always do, that he pray that Allah will help those who are living to help Ja'far family. That means whoever helped Ja'far family, Allah will help them. Whoever take care of the orphans, Allah also will take care of you. That's why the Prophet did say in other hadith, whoever take care of the orphan, they and me is just like this. This is how close we with Prophet Muhammad in the day of judgment. So don't look down upon them. But taking care of orphans, it's not necessary to take the orphan out from the family. No. We have been discussing about this issue many times with a lot of people. Do you think it is right to just have a home for the orphanage, orphanage home for the orphans? Sometimes we think it's necessary if there is a need. But we don't encourage them to get out from the family yet until the family can't do anything and ask for special help, that can somebody take care of my child so that I can move forward. I can do more things. Because if they are still there with me, I just can't move because somebody must take care of them. Then you can plan for a daycare center, number one. When a mother is working or anybody, so there is somebody, some adult, look into the affair of these children. But we do not want them to be separated. It's not healthy sometimes. Unless you have an environment that is good, you're like a father-mother figure in one area, where the father and mother figure will give love to these children, alhamdulillah. We do not want them to be in another orphanage. Because they are orphaned now. We have to bring the family together. Either we call their aunties, their uncle who are close to them to get involved, and then we may come in to help them financially, example, the extra needs, we help them. But they, the family, take care of their own children. If that can be organized, that will be the best one. Yeah. We know like Al-Qadim have an orphanage, we have a home. Yeah, these are because the children, yeah, the parents can't handle them. They ask for help. So we try to help them. And when everything is okay, they can bring them home. Yeah, they can take them back. And we have to train the children to take care of their mother, how to help their mother if they go home, or how to help their father if they go home. So we will try to educate them, prepare them, so that they're ready to go back to their family. That should be our way of helping the orphans. Yeah? Not just take them away from their family. Yeah? Sometimes when you do that, you are not helping the child. The child needs their own parent to be around. Their connection is very different. Unless the parent abuse the children, and that's when, even by law, the law will come after them and take away the child, because you fail to function as a father or a mother now. You cannot abuse your children. How bad your children is because they are still children, you can educate them. It's easy to educate the young one. It's difficult to educate the old one. Yeah? We know we are old now, you know. Or maybe you are not old yet, yeah? Inshallah. But it's not easy to change the elders. You know? For the young one, I think if we try our best, show them the love and care, they will change. Yeah? Now, this subject actually is trying to tell us that how should we respond when somebody passed away? Should we just make dua and then tell them, you know, ta'ziyah, yeah, call them to be patient? But now they're children. Those who have children, yeah, somebody must come in and offer a helping hand, that we will make sure the children's affair and welfare will be taken care. That is very, very important. We do this exercise before. Al-Qadim have been doing a lot of these activities since the 80s. When we don't have a home, what we do, whoever have this problem, their parent pass away, and who is taking care of them, we will come in, we will support them financially. Okay? Then we have activities that they will come, yeah, to us to follow the activities when we have camp. Because our camp for young children from before started in 1984 until today. Every year we do have camp for children. And that's when we train the children to be more independent, more responsible, yeah, more helpful, so that one day they can help themselves and help their family. Yeah. We have been doing this year in, year out. Maybe a lot of our Jama'ah are not aware, because you are just with us for a few years ago, but we have started all these activities since 84. No? Then we try to send them to other state where they have the madrasa or pondok. You know, for those who want to learn Islamic knowledge, we send them pondok. But we send them to Penang, we send them to Kelantan, we send them to Johor, we send to Negeri Sembilan, from different states. You know? But later on, our children, the bandar children, is not like the kampung children. The bandar children will bring the bandar problem to the kampung. So, you know, the kampung children having problem now because of our children. So after that, we have to bring all of them home. We have to bring them back. Yeah? This is in the early, late 80s, we have to bring them back. Because they become, you know, bandar children are very exposed to many things. You know? So they become the chief when they went into the kampung. You know? So the teacher, the mudir, they have problem, call us back. Sheikh, we have some problem, you know? We can't handle. I said, no problem. We ask you to help us and give a try for 1 week, 2 weeks. If you can't handle, let us know. Yeah. Their children, we send them three or four of people, people will send them to the place. And after 2 days, they came back. They are so smart. They know how to run away and come back to Colombo. Even we send them to Kedah, they can come back. We have to send people, adults to send them to make sure they are safe. But they can come back by themselves.
Wow.
So we've got to group all these children and give them and say, what do you all want from us? Do you want to change? Do you want to be a better person? Do you want us to help you? If you want, this is the rule. If none, we will have to send you back. You decide. But now, we cannot send them anymore. The people said, no. No, we have tried, but we can't handle your children. So, we started our own. We rented 2 units of terrace house, side by side, male and female. Yeah, somewhere in KL. And that's when we start. Now, you stay with us. We want to send you to another area, Tail. Now you have to stay with us. You cannot play your trick with us anymore. Because we know you from day one. Where we send you to the pondok, they do not know. You thought you are half angel, you know, you're the good guy. You know. So we have to do this exercise. Alhamdulillah, when we were taking care of them, they changed. These children change. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Now they are big now. From 80s. You know. Some of them got married. If anybody who like the Nasi Arab, the near Cyber Jaya. Cyber Jaya, there's an Arab restaurant, Hadramaut restaurant. The boss married one of the girls that we brought up. Yeah. The family, the whole family was under our care. And now, alhamdulillah, they have a good life. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. All the brothers also are helping in the restaurant. Shukur, alhamdulillah. On and off, they'll come and visit us. You know? And they send some Arabic rice for us. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. We have good. Some of them still contact with us. Some, alhamdulillah, they are overseas. Some we send to Egypt to learn about the deen, and they are teaching some of the newcomers from Malaysia in Azhar. Some we send to Yemen, alhamdulillah. Few of them got married already, and alhamdulillah. This is what we have been doing. So what is important, brothers and sisters, Their mother then came and started describing her children's orphanage and poverty, trying to move his heart. He said to her, Al-Aila, do you fear the poverty for them when I am their protector in this life and the hereafter? The mother is coming to express how the mother's feeling. So the Prophet is saying to the mother, are you worried? When I'm still alive, I'm taking care of the children. When I take care of the children, I don't take care of them only here, but I'm going to prepare these children for the hereafter. And I will be a witness, because the Prophet is there to witness the children's growing up. So the Prophet will protect them and make sure they become righteous children. And the Prophet will bear witness for them in the Day of Judgment. So you don't have to worry anymore. When there's somebody who is taking care, you don't have to be too sentimental, too sensitive. No. You must have trust in Allah Rabbul Alameen. If someone who really wants to help you for the sake of Allah in the right way, you do it. You know that, sisters and brothers, from day one, every Ramadan, we have a lot of people coming in for bantuan, for AIDS. Maybe later on you can see even outside. From day one until today, we have more than 40 people have came in. These are the walk-in one. And then we ask them what happened to some of the old girls who used to come to us. They said they have left for US under UNCHR program. When UNCHR said that it's time for you to go to the third country, if you don't go, they are not responsible for you anymore. And then we ask them, do they communicate with all of you? They said yes. Do they have problem? Now they have some problem. There are some, they said, whoever want to go. If you are wearing hijab here, you cannot wear hijab. No hijab. You want to go? They say it's better for you. You become a Christian, then we send you. Now this is happening. What can we do? They are the one who decide. You need their help. You want to go to the third country. The problem is when they stay here, we have issue. May Allah make change this environment. They cannot work. If they cannot work, how do they survive? So they try to work illegally, and we have people who Allah have given them authority. They have no amana. They know these people don't have the proper document. They will stop you. Whatever money you have, they take it from you. So we are in a difficult situation. No, neither you can help them, offer them a job. We need manpower. We are lack of manpower. Why don't you let these people work so that they can survive? And they try to work, and then you still go and it's like a day like robbery. You exploit them. You oppress them. How can we do this to them? Whether not yet Muslim is offering them a new life with a new identity, with a new future. But we have told them, said, if you go and if this situation is going to be the condition, you have to change, and it is really a test for you whether you want your deen or you want dunya. May Allah protect them, inshallah. Thing is changing in the West. We know that they have not been very honest with their word. They are not sincere. They talk about human rights, but they don't honor our rights. They force you, to do what they want you to do. Making food for the deceased family is recommended for the relative and neighbors, especially to make for the deceased family enough food to suffice them during the peak of their distress. When somebody dies, so we as neighbor, the first thing we should do is we should prepare. Make sure they don't worry about food. We will prepare food for them. That is the way Islamic. Not that the family of the one who died have to prepare food. You know, they have to eat. Their family member is coming from far, relative is coming, and then they have to eat. And there's nobody who take care about their food. We should take care of their food. When there is a mayat, a death in any Muslim house, we who are close to them, immediately come, you don't worry about the food, we will organize for you. How many people here? 40, 50? So we start to organize food for them. Either we send the food over there, or they can come to the neighbor and have food, and then they go home. Don't burden them with all this kind of thing anymore. They don't need think of that. They have a lot of things to think about. How to handle the disease, what is going to happen. They are busy. They have to organize the funeral, the report, police station. They have to run here to the kubur, to the graveyard, to make sure that everything is organized. You don't burden them that they have to serve you like you are a guest. You are no more guest at that time. You don't have to wait for any invitation to go for a funeral. For buka puasa, you have to wait for invitation, But for funeral, you know there's a funeral, you should respond already. And you ask them, immediately ask them, who's taking care of them? No one, I will take over. Immediately, you organize already. That's how we should respond Islamically. To show that we Muslims are here to ease the burden of those who have gone through some trial in life. The calamity or the calamities, or those who just face some test from Allah Rabbul Alameen. That's why the Prophet said, Isna'ul Ali Ja'far Ta'aman. Make food for Ja'far family, not only for Ja'far, but for Ja'far family. All the family members is there, we should take care of their food, because a matter has occurred diverting them from normal life. Because musibah took place, now they are not here. Yeah? Because musibah is always by surprise. Nobody planned for it. Death will come to you by surprise. So when something happens, of course, everybody will get panicked, don't know what to do. You know, so everybody will be busy. So don't let them think about the food. Yeah? In particular, Aisha radiallahu anha used to order giving talbina to the sick and those who are distressed for the loss of a beloved one. And she reported that Allah's Messenger also said, yeah, indeed, talbina brings comfort to a sick person's heart and alleviates some of his distress. Yeah? It's food, it's a kind of food, yeah, that is very common, yeah, among the Arabs. Yeah. Al-Shafi'i, rahimallah, Imam Shafi'i said, I urge the deceased neighbor or relative to make enough food for the deceased family as to suffice them during the day and night of death. This is part of the sunnah and a thoughtful good act and is practice of the generous people before and after us. According to Shafi'i, he do not want anybody to burden the deceased family that they have to entertain the other family members, entertain the guests, no. So that's why, according to the sunnah of the Prophet, when somebody pass away, make sure that their kitchen, if not active, no, yeah, activities at the kitchen. Everybody will take, yeah, buy food for them. Don't let them prepare anything. Yeah, this is something that we try our best to do it, inshallah. The same go to today. We have more issues now about going to the police to make a report and preparing the transportation, yeah, for the deceased, and then the graveyard, all these things now cost money. Now everything become commercialized today. It's not like it is our must sacrifice. It is an honor for us to help another brother or sister. Today, help is help, but money is money. So what can we do? The moment you call the package, the group, to wash the body, they come up with the package already. For this, this, for this, that, and then this is how much you have to pay. So what should we do, brother and sister, today? What should we do? We know now, they just have the musibah, and now another musibah come in. They have to spend extra money. You know, when somebody pass away, if they have property, the property will be frozen. There is the time that the family need the money, and there is the time they have that problem. Man-made law is sometimes is not make things easy. This is the time at least you release 20%. Let them make use of the money. They need the money to pay this, to pay that. So what we can do is like what we do, Al-Qadim always do, since we have the van with us, the transport with us, when people need, it's free. There's no charge. If they need extra than that, meaning if they want us to arrange for the washing, then we'll get our team, it's free. You don't have to worry about money at all. You just let us know what you need from us, we will give you what we can, that's all. And that's why, alhamdulillah, for those who have contributed to get a van, and the van is here, so anybody who think that if anyone need and you want to cut off the cost, you just let us know. We have the team. If you need the help from us, yeah. This is what we should do. Of course, you want to pay for the people who dig the graveyard. Everything is money today, by right. Why must you charge these people? There are people who say, this is the best time to charge them. Because they have to pay. They cannot say no. No. So, but you are not supposed to commercialize this thing. My people have commercialized this. They'll show you, you want package A, package B, package C, you know. And now the Muslim also is starting to imitate them. They also want, you want what kind of package? No, no, no. We want the Islamic package. The Islamic package, when somebody dies, is free of charge. Because it is your contribution. You get reward from Allah by helping another brother. And the family, you ease the burden of the family. Then Allah will ease your problem in the future. You don't lose anything, brothers and sisters. Yeah. So we hope that we will be more productive, inshallah. And we know how to approach, you know, these people. Even they say, you don't worry, we have money. Of course, the Prophet did mention in another hadith, the best thing to spend on the deceased is by using the deceased money. If the deceased have his own money, property is there. So better use his money. Use his money to buy the clothes to cover him. Yeah, the washing, if people want to pay, use his money to pay. Never mind, it's better. Because it's for himself. Yeah. But if they don't have, then it is an opportunity for all of us to do a good deeds. Yeah. So we should grab the opportunity. Yeah. And Allah will help us, inshallah. Yeah. Whoever make life easy for somebody here, Allah will make his life more easier in the day of judgment, inshallah. Yeah. Lastly, the thing that I like to share with all the sisters and the rubbing over an orphan's head. A good act of consolation towards a deceased orphan is to supplicate for them and rub over their heads. Abdullah bin Ja'far reported that when he was a little boy playing with the other boys, Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed riding an animal. He pointed to him and commanded, "Raise the boy to me." Irfa'u hazal ilayya. Raise this boy to me. The Prophet did not come down, but he called somebody to raise this boy up to him. He set him in front of him. Then he pointed to Qat and commanded, yeah, Qat, the other Sahaba. He set him behind him. He knew that this uncle Al-Abbas loved his other son, Ubaidullah, more than Qatim, but that did not prevent him from holding Qatim. Instead, then he stroked Abdullah's head 3 times, every time saying, "Allahumma khluf Ja'far fi walidi." Allah, take care of Ja'far's children after him. Now this rubbing over orphans' head is also very important. Children need that kind of comfort. Sometimes we talk to children, but we don't have any body contact. Now, it's just like a patient who is in pain. You don't come and talk to them and no touch. You should hold them. You know, the touch play an important role. Show that we have extra care. We feel for them. You don't go, if you want to be a doctor and you want to hold a pen and go and touch your patient, you bet don't be a doctor. You know? You say that, "Oh no, I cannot touch your you know, because you're not my mahram." At that point of time, that touching is not the touching of desire. It's to show your patient that we care for you, we feel for you. Yeah, I've seen some people who touch their patient with pen, you know. No, so sometimes when I have the opportunity to talk to this group of doctors, normally I will inform them. You must know when you can touch, when you can't. Yeah, this is important. Yeah? So children need that kind of comfort. That's why it's good when you see children sometimes running here and there, come close to you, grab them, hold them, touch their head. It's good. Because it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes you just don't like children because they are so active, you know, running here and there, you know. But you have to hold them and touch them, talk to them. Yeah, you cannot blame them. What can you do? Because their parents give them all the freedom to do what they want at home. So when they come out, they thought that this is also their home. Yeah. In our area, alhamdulillah, the children normally come here when they were just baby. The parents have brought them here, so it's easy to control baby. They can move by themselves. Then suddenly they grow and now they become, when they are 6 years old, 7 years old, this is like a playground for them. When they come here, but we also have to discipline them. We cannot just let them you know, do whatever they like. You know, we do when we have the opportunity. We discipline them. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. We have to remind them, but we have to hug them, hold them, rub their head. It's a sunnah. Yeah. Some people don't like children, you know. We have problem. Some people just hate children. Don't do that, because the Prophet ﷺ said to us, those who have no mercy, then the one in the heaven will not shower his mercy. Show some love. Yeah? Even we don't have our own children, we feel for other people's children. Yeah? We must feel for them, inshallah. Yeah? Designating a place for receiving condolence. A common practice is that the deceased family and relative would gather to receive condolence in a graveyard, house, or masjid. According to the Sunnah of the Prophet, this is a bid'ah that become worse when the visitor expect from the deceased family to offer them food, coffee, and other services. They want to be like a guest, no more. That means you don't have to fix a place. Wherever you are, then you just give ta'ziyah to them. Yeah? You don't have to organize, yeah, a special day for that. Yeah? When the Sahaba consider gathering for visiting, we, the Sahaba, consider gathering for visiting the deceased family and making food after burying him, both acts of wailing. You are burdening them. Yeah? Yeah? You are just burdening them. Imam Nawawi, one of the famous students of Imam Shafi'i, Shafi'i, As-Siraji, and other scholars have all expressed that it is disliked for the deceased family to sit for receiving condolences. Rather, they should conduct their normal life, and whoever happened to meet them would console them, and this ruling applying equally to men and women. And Al-Shafi'i said, I dislike condolence gathering. Even if the people did not raise their voice with crying, that should renew the distress, burden, and people with unnecessary expenses and conflict with the report. Yeah, from Jarir, meaning the report from other hadith. Yeah. So it's very important, brother and sister, that we know what we can do when somebody pass away. Even they are not yet Muslim, please remember, not yet Muslim, they are human like us. Even they are not Muslim, if you as a family members, you must give a helping hand. Of course, you don't go and pray like how they pray, but you know that they need money, yeah, for their funeral, so you can contribute some money. Because if there's nobody to bury them, we Muslims must bury them. You cannot just let the body like this. We must do something. It's the duty of the community now. Yeah, we have community responsibilities, but we don't interfere in the ritual. But you can give. Yeah. It's just that I always remind a lot of Muslim groups in the government sector, they have this tabung kematian khairat. Yeah, tabung khairat, kematian, something like that, organized by the Muslim body in all the government sector. I said, do you open for everybody? They said, no, this is only for the Muslim. I said, then the not yet Muslim cannot get help. Why don't you open it up? We are not used to it. So everything the Muslim is doing, Muslim, Muslim. We are not reaching out. If you do not want them to participate, no problem. But when their family pass away, and they are also your friend, they are, give them some support, some money, contribution. We are not saying, I'm giving you for the ritual, no, I'm giving to ease your burden. Show them that we Muslim care. By doing that, maybe you soften their heart, and one day they get closer to you, because you show that you care for them. You need to do that. They also die. We die. And sometimes, the worst thing, they will help us. Like what I shared with all of you maybe years ago, Ramadan come in sometime, the not yet Muslim, those who own shop, sundry, they will send sugar, rice to the mosque. Because they know the mosque is going to prepare what? Bubur lambuk. For people who break fast. So they will send, they like to contribute. So we accept the rice and everything. But what happened, what saddened me, one day when I was talking to them, they said, I would like to taste the bubur if possible. They don't give them bubur. They don't even send some bubur back to them, say, this is from the mosque, the rice also from you. this is what we cook. Because you must remember, in Ramadan, the bubur in Ramadan only happen in Ramadan. This kind of bubur only happen in Ramadan. Other than Ramadan, you don't have this kind of bubur anymore. It back to normal bubur. Fish porridge, chicken porridge. But only in Ramadan you have special bubur. So this guy said, I have been contributing every year, but until today, I was not given the opportunity to taste the food. I said, is that what happened to you? The same day I went down to the mosque, I get some bubur and pack it and send it to him. Well, he also was very happy. It is the difference in our bubur than their bubur. You see, we have a special bubur, bubur lambu. You don't have in the restaurant also, they don't have. You have what, bubur Ashura? They don't have this bubur. So why not you share with them? I'm going to share with you one brother and sister. Why we Muslims are always thinking inward without reaching out to others. It's just like when you want to break fast. Can you invite your friend who are not yet Muslim to come and break and have food with you, to dinner with you? Why not? If they are around. Show them that we Muslims are very loving and caring people. But not normally we don't do that. But we're trying. Here normally when we have guests, the time we have iftar here, when we have iftar, and so happened they got guests who are not yet Muslim, we will invite them. And then they'll have some experience with us, how we break fast. The worst place that I've seen people breaking fast, I'm very sad. It's not in Malaysia, alhamdulillah, but in a country, I don't want to mention the name of the country, I feel very sad, because the leader loved the people, he organized the breakfast every night, free. And whoever come and breakfast there, and pray there, and have sahur there, when they leave, they give you money, cash, per person. He is so kind, to keep on giving more and more to the whole, to his people, to the nation. But the way we behave is very, very bad. Waiting for iftar, the food is going to come. But they keep on using the spoon and knock the table. Make a lot of sound. Very impatient. That made me very, very sad. And sometimes the children, because we don't discipline them, they break the plates, the glass. Then nobody can say anything because they are not allowed to complain. Because they still have many in the storeroom. Just replace new one. Don't worry. Sometimes it's good to be kind, but you have to discipline the people. So they are grateful, they are thankful. They don't become too arrogant. Sometimes they become too arrogant. And they don't have manners, and this is bad. The decline of manners in the ummah is very bad. So brother and sister, we hope Allah Rabbul Alameen will make it easy for all of us. We know what to do now if there's a funeral, and we know what we can, how we can help and we can contribute. Just do something. It is the person. Sometimes the person don't need because they have the mean, but show them that we do care. We feel for you. If there's any question, we'll open for Q&A. Fatafadda. Naam. Question from the sisters first. Ramadan normally morning a bit tired. Why? Because we don't sleep, don't have enough sleep actually Ramadan. Yeah, we finished the Qiyam almost 11, and then we prepared almost 12, then we wake up 4 something, 5, and then, but may Allah accept all our deeds, inshallah. And for the sister who do not participate in our Qiyam here, please remember, you can do it at home, but do it properly. You have seen that in some area, not in Malaysia, in other country, our neighbor country, people do the Qiyam for 20 or a rakat. How many minutes? Less than 10 minutes. You rich do not know what they are doing. Less than 10 minutes, they can finish that number of rakats. Now, praying Qiyam Ramadan is not wajib, it's a sunnah. If you want to do it properly. If not, you just don't do. Make your Isha and go to sleep. But when you start to pray, you don't play around with the prayer. You know, in the time the Prophet, one companion who came in late, and then he was praying his prayer, the Prophet was looking at him. After he finished his prayer, the Prophet commanded him to pray again. Why? Because the prayer have no tuma'nina. It's like aerobic, No pause at all. The Prophet said, this prayer is not valid. If it's valid, the Prophet would just let it go. The Prophet remind him, pray again. And he prayed, and then later on, the Prophet said, pray again. So please make sure that you do it properly. You can do it at your own time, don't rush, not necessarily after Isha immediately, as long as after your Isha prayer and before Fajr, you can start this prayer. You can even pray 2-4 rakat after Isha, then you rest, maybe 4 o'clock, you wake up, you do 4 more, and with Fitr. You can break, no problem. This Qiyam is up to you. If you want to do continuously, easier, maybe you want to finish it once for all, but those who want to break, they can break, no problem. Like I said again, if you think you need to go for shopping at night, Ramadan, you can still go. After Maghrib, you can still go to the mall, no problem, but you know the mall will stop, will close at 10 p.m., then you have to come home. Then you pray your Isha and pray your Qiyam, no problem. It's not that Ramadan you cannot do anything at night anymore. You still, life will carry on like normal. Only you have extra reward for this prayer. And you can do it by yourself, with your family, with the Jama'ah in the mosque. You can come here because we have classes going on. Every night we have 10, 15, 20 minutes reminder that will enrich you with a lot of knowledge of Ramadan, inshallah. Any question from the sisters again? If you don't have any further question, yes. Then no problem. Yeah, of course, of course. Islam is for everybody. It's not only for us. Oh, that is the wishes. We always pray for them. We use our value, to greet somebody sometimes. No, I give you an example. There are certain things you are allowed. There are certain things, of course, you are not allowed. I give you an example. If a person come to you and say, I want to build a temple for donation drive, you say, sorry. That one you can't. To commit shirik, you can't. Because by supporting them, you are supporting their shirik. You don't do that. The same thing if they, when we want to build our musalla, a mosque, you don't take money from them. You should not take me. Even they want to contribute, thank you. This is our sacred area. Now, if you start to accept from them, then when they come to you, they say, I want to build that. And if you don't respond, you say, you are double standard. You are double standard, you see. So you make it very clear. When it comes to religious matter, then lakum dinukum waliyadin. There must be a limit, of course. What I can and what I can't. This is something. But the general thing, of course, like people who pass away, of course, you can help them.
But after they made the temple and the shrine and whatnot, can we give some money for the food for them to eat? No.
No, no. Anything to do with the kind of ritual, we don't participate. Yeah, we don't participate. It's difficult. We have a lot of problems today. You know, we have a lot of problems. You know what happened to Kaaba? You know, Kaaba, the building of Kaaba is not square. It's a bit horizontal. But what happened, there was a war before, and it was destroyed. And the only money that they are sure that is pure, clean money to rebuild back is only the square. They don't have enough money at that time. And they don't use any other money, gray area they can't use because they know this is a sacred house. We don't use any money that is not pure and clean. The history of Kaaba. Anything that is pure, a place of worship, our place of worship, you don't get just get any money. You cannot use riba money to build a mosque because it's haram. You cannot take raswa money and go for umrah and haji. You can't do that. Inna Allah tayyib la yaqbalu illa tayyib. Allah is good and clean. He only accepts what is good and what is clean. Sometimes we are very confused. Sometimes we get all the blood money and then do good thing. No. You can do, but if you know, you don't accept. If you don't know, then it's different. If somebody come to you say, I'm going to give you this money, I just got, and I win from Genting Highland. Thank you. Because one is haram, I cannot take this money because if I take and I consume, everything go inside me is haram. Naam. Yeah, this is where some of the opinion come from some scholars to say whether we can use for public usage and so on. We normally advise people who have this issue to come to us. We let them know how they can do it properly. Nothing can be used for Muslim. Of course, there's no reward for you. There's no reward for you because it's not a halal money. Only you cannot use for yourself, but you can apply it for people who are non-believers because the non-believers are not tied up with the law. It's just like, you know, can a not yet Muslim drink? Of course he can drink. He's not a believer. Can a not yet Muslim eat pork? Of course. They are non-believers. They can do what they want. There are ways for us to make use of them, but not for the Muslim. Because what is haram for us is haram for them. No, haram for another Muslim. Example, is riba halal for us? Haram. But can we use riba money and help another Muslim? You can't because you know this is haram for you. How can you use haram thing to help another Muslim? Even your intention is good. You look at what Allah said in the ayah I just quote in the beginning of the class. لَن تَنَالُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِكُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. This ayah is a very powerful reminder from Allah. Allah will not consider what you do is good. What you contribute is a good contribution. What you donate is a good donation until you are prepared to give what you love most. What you don't love, have no value to you. What have no value to you, you think have value to God? But what that you value, this is what you have prepared to give. That is where the value comes in. Inshallah. Any last question? Inshallah. Naam. Madam Anana. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. After performing Qiyam Ramadan and Witir, yeah, there will be no other voluntary prayer after Witir. Witir is the end of that day prayer. If you want to do any voluntary prayer, then you should have delayed Witir. But again, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, now when you talk about night prayer or Ramadan or Qiyam Ramadan, Prophet performed most of the time at home. No one knows better than his own wife. Aisha radiallahu anha, when people ask him about how many raka'at the Prophet performed, but the way Aisha responded was so clear cut. We don't know why people are confused until today. Aisha said, "Ma kana rasul yazid fi Ramadan wala fi ghairihi ala ihda asharaka." Prophet Muhammad never increased. This is what Aisha said. "Ma kana rasul yazid," never he increased, whether in the night of Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, because the Prophet prayed night prayer not only in Ramadan. Every night the Prophet stand up for prayer. For outside Ramadan, you call it the Hajj. In Ramadan, you name it Qiyam Ramadan. Later on, people give a new name, Taraweh. Or Qiyamul Layl. It's the same prayer. But outside Ramadan, you don't call Qiyam Ramadan. It's just Tahajjud or Qiyamul Layl. Because the prayer is being done at night. So Aisha said the Prophet never do more than 11 raka'at. And he will end with Witir. That's all. So if you end with Witir, finish. That means that the day prayer gone. You just wait for Sunat Fajar. But if you have the intention, say that after taking wudu, say we wake up at 4 before sahur, and then you take your ablution, because it's always good to take your ablution before fajar, like it's always good to take ablution before iftar. You don't just get busy until you break your fast without wudu. You have wudu because breaking fast is so fast, and then you pray maghrib immediately. So have wudu. All of us prepare to have wudu earlier. So if you wake up and then you take your wudu, you want to pray sunat wudu. Because sunat wudu is sunat mutlaq. That means it's something to relate with wudu. Then you can. Again? After wudu. Yeah, after wudu. Sunat wudu is after wudu. That is okay. That is the wudu because relate with that. It's just like now if you want to go to the mosque early. You have finished witir last night. Now you are going to pray fajar in the mosque. Okay? Now you arrive at the mosque 5 o'clock. 5:40 azan fajar. So you want to sit, you pray tahiyatul masjid. Because the law of tahiyatul masjid is connected with the masjid. Now, sunnah wudu is you pray after wudu. That means at home, you pray at home. If you want, even you have finished witir, you can still do that because it is connected to that particular ritual. It's like, is there a special sunnah after witir? No. There's no sunnah after witir. Witir is the end. But if you want to pray any sunnah that is not connected with other sunnah, connected with a ritual like wudu, you can, like tahiyatul masjid, you can. You understand that, inshallah? By right, witir means no more sunnah prayer, except what is related, interrelated with the ritual. Naam, sister. Is there any salat sunnah after azan? The Prophet did mention in the general hadith, Baina azanain, between two azan, there you can pray what you want to pray. So, but there are things that the Prophet fixed, like Qabla Zuhur, 4 rakaat. Yeah, the Prophet established that. Qabla Fajr, the Prophet established that. That is the before the fardu prayer. The others, the Prophet do allow, but he did not establish it by himself. But the companion want to pray after azan asar, because between two azan means azan and qamat. They call it as two azan. You can pray if you want to pray. But most of the time the Prophet only pray before Fajr, before Zuhur, the one that before. The one that is after Zuhur, after Maghrib, after Isha. But those who want to pray before Asar, the Prophet never stopped. Those who want to pray before Isha, the Prophet never stopped. But the one the Prophet established by himself most is before Zuhur, or before Zuhur, before Fajr, after Maghrib, after Isha. And after Zuhur, correct. Yeah, you can. But you, the companion does that. The Prophet never stopped them. But the Prophet hardly do that. He himself do not establish that. It's okay. It's a sunnah. Anyway. Yeah. Ba'diyah you do ba'diyah. Yes, you can do ba'diyah. Ba'diyah is established sunnah. Now, when you are traveling, and when you are traveling, all the sunnah will drop, except Fajr and Witir. For travelers, all the Qabliya Zuhur, Ba'da Zuhur, Ba'da Maghrib, Ba'da Isha drops, except Sunnat Fajr, before Fajr, and Sunnat Witir. The Prophet still established, if you are traveling, for travelers. Yeah. Inshallah. Naam. No, they don't do tahajjud. In the mosque, they don't do tahajjud anymore. They do qiyam. All are qiyam. We make our own judgment. We thought that is tahajjud. Because the mosque have many imams, and the imam will rotate. Those who pray early, those who pray late. Yes, for Ramadan. Okay. Then witir. Yes. No, if you really want to do that, yeah, do that. But if you have a prayer, the tahajjud, you don't have to do that anymore. You have something you want to do already, you don't have to add that. I'm saying if you don't have any other prayer. Now, last is Zulaika. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, you can do 4. You can do 2. Yes, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah. Now, any sunnah prayer again, please. Yeah. Any sunnah prayer. If you do 4, you can do with 1 tashahud, you can do with 2 tashahud. Sunnah prayer, there is a choice. But fardu prayer, there's no choice. You must have 2 tashahud if there is more than 2 raka'at. But for sunnah prayer, you have a choice. You can do with 1 tashahud or with 2 tashahud. But the difference again, sunnah prayer is you do 4, 4 rakat, you have surah after Fatiha. Please remember that. If you do 4 rakat, that's a surah after Fatiha. When the fardu prayer, you only recite surah after Fatiha first and second rakat. Third, you don't recite surah after Fatiha. Fourth, you don't recite surah after Fatiha. But sunnah prayer, every rakat, there is a surah. Yes. Like weekday, you bought three. Three rakat got surah after Fatiha. You got it? Yeah. Pardon? Yeah, again. Yeah. Iqamah for fardu prayer. Yes, iqamah only for fardu prayer. That's why there's no iqamah for Eid prayer. There's no iqamah for funeral prayer. The only iqamah apply only for fardu prayer. No, for sunnah prayer, there's no iqamah. You got that? Inshallah. Yep. Yeah, it's good. Naam, Zulaikha again. Yeah, you do iqamah. It is a sunnah to do iqamah before your prayer. Whether you are praying alone or you are praying in jama'ah. Yeah, if you don't hear the azan, you just make iqamah for yourself to start your prayer. Yeah. Yeah. As long as you know that the prayer is in already, you do your iqamah. Yeah. Inshallah. Yeah. If there are things that you are still confused, you can approach me later on, inshallah. So once again, yes, you have a last one. Okay. According to the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ, no prayer can be accepted without Fatiha. Yeah? This is a general order from the Prophet. La salah liman la fatiha lah. No prayer without Surah Al-Fatiha. Then the Prophet ﷺ did also mention one day that when you hear the imam recite aloud, you keep quiet. That means you don't have to recite. Because the recitation of the imam is representing you when he recites aloud. Okay, number two. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, after Fatiha, he don't stop like some people stop, give time for the ma'mum to recite something. No. Immediately after Fatiha, Amin, then he continued the surah. This is the way of our Prophet ﷺ. Only people are got confused now. They say, no, we must recite Fatiha. Whether you hear the imam recitation or not, you must recite. So how do we give and take? We compromise. Okay, we compromise. After our Fatiha, the imam, he stopped for a while. Give enough time for the ma'mum to recite. Now, who taught us to do that? Not from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just our opinion. Yeah. So by right, by doing that, you break. You know, it's like you break the communication for a while. No, you should continue the Prophet's way. After Fatiha, Amin, he continued the surah already. So for the ma'mum who is behind the imam in the loud prayer, they just have to listen to all the ayah, the Quran that is going to be recited by the imam. Wa iza quri al Quran, Allah said, wa iza quri al Quran, fastami'u lah wa ansitu la'allakum turhamun. When the Quran is being recited, and you hear Allah said, fastami'u, listen, wa ansitu, be silent, so that Allah will give you His mercy. So when the imam recite aloud, we don't have to. When the imam recite silently, everybody must recite. If not, then your prayer is not valid. Inshallah. Yes. Salatul Jama'ah. Yes. Yeah. Now this is a very, very good question. For the late comer, when you listen to the recitation imam, means you must listen from the beginning. You cannot recite Fatiha, you come in, Maliki Yawmiddin, your Fatiha is not sah. You must start from Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. Now, you came in, then the imam is, Iyaka na'budu wa ida, means you are late. So what do you do? Do you consider you get the full Fatiha? You don't get the full Fatiha. So what should you do? You recite your Fatiha. Because listening to the recitation of the imam is wajib. If you were there from the beginning, when you miss, reciting Fatiha in the prayer is rukun. No. You wait until the imam finishes Fatiha. Then you recite your own Fatiha. Never mind. Because the Fatiha is a rukun. Other surah is not a rukun. Rukun overrule the other thing. You must know the hukum of rukun and wajib or sunnah. Yeah, if you can recite your own Fatiha. Very. No. If you can recite your Fatiha. When you recite your Fatiha, then it's valid. Yeah. Always remember the importance of rukun and wajib. Yeah. Rukun you cannot compromise. That's why rukun you cannot replace with sujud sahwi. What is wajib you can replace with sujud sahwi. Tahiyat awal in fardu prayer. Is rukun or wajib? It's wajib. If you miss tahiyat awal, you continue your prayer, you don't stop. Then before you end the salam, you make two sujud. Then your prayer is rectified. It's valid. Rukuk and sujud. Is rukun or wajib? It's rukun. If you miss, you cannot replace with sujud sahwi only. You must add one more rakat and then sujud sahwi. You cannot replace with purely sujud sahwi. When the rukun you miss, you must add one more rakat. And then make sujud sahwi. Then you must add one full rakat. And then the full rakat must be replete. And then sujud sahwi. Even you are in the fourth rakat now. When you are in the fourth rakat, you are not sure. Add one more rakat. When you are not sure, you must plus one. You cannot say, okay, good. Okay, no. Okay, code, the code is there. You have plus. Add and then sujud sahwi. There's a lot to learn actually about this because we are not, this thing don't happen always. Once a while it happened and we were caught by surprise, then we do not know how to handle it. But inshallah, yeah. But lastly, brothers and sisters, like we say, anybody who like to do more good deeds in Ramadan, we are doing it here with to help you all to do things. We are doing it here every morning. People are walking in. Then there were a big event on the 17th. We will invite those poor, the needy, and reverts who need help. They will come. This is when we invite them. And then there will be two exercises that we go out. want to revert, majority are revert from Kampung Orang Asli, we are going out, and then the poor and the needy that we have sent group of people to go and recce, to confirm, to get all their data, so that we know we are going out 22nd, we are going out on the 22nd, 24th, inshallah, we're going out. But the one coming in 17, and you see the daily one, people are coming in. So whoever want to participate, let us know, and yeah, so that we can do more if we do it collectively, inshallah. Yeah. So may Allah help us, may Allah reward us for our contribution, and also may Allah accept our fast and our qiyam. Wa bila tawfiqi wa laqir da'wana walhamdulillah alamin subhanakallahumma bihamdik shahadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is the, what, how? Tell me, our right. Today is 30, yeah. 30, today is 30 or 31?
Yeah.
30 or 31? Date.
Date what?